I want to talk to you today on the idea, the topic of the purpose of a test. The purpose of a test. Nobody likes to be tested. You know, test, sometimes it's confused with temptation, being tempted. And I'm going to kind of bring out some differences in those today. But I want to answer a few questions today in the message. Number one question is, does God test us? Are all tests from God? Are tests God's way of punishing us? I'm going to answer these questions today. Here's some things we do know about tests. Tests are to help us measure what we know. You remember taking a test in school? They didn't give you a test to see how dumb you were. They give you a test to see what you know. That's the whole premise, not to what you don't know, it's what you do know. Amen? See, if you think it's because they're giving you a test because it's what you don't know, you feel like somebody's against you all right already. They just want to know what I don't know. Well, then that becomes the victim mentality. They're testing to see what do you know. Can I do better as a teacher to teach you more? How can I present the information so that you can learn it, so you can pass the test? You know, that was the whole thing about passing the test. See, some people have this idea that they got to pass and score 100 every time. They got to answer every question correctly. I just want to pass. Colt, I just wanted to pass the test. Amen. Told you about my story about my mom. You know, I wasn't doing so good in school there at one point in my life, you know, for the last 4 years. And she got called into the, we called them guidance counselors then. They were, and her and my mother were friends. They live not too far from us. And so they were good friends anyway. And she called and said, Brenda, I really need to talk to you about Marty's grades. Okay, she goes to school and gets in there. And she's going through the grades. Said he's all this, you know. And he's doing good here, here, and here. But he's got a D in this class. And my mother said, Brenda, refresh me. What's the grade point? Back then, it was every 10 points. I don't know what it is now. It was, you know, like 50 to 60, 60, 70, and so forth. And she said, well, it's a D. It's passing. And my mother said, well, what's the problem? I was passing, okay? I'd passed enough of the test to pass. She was thinking, you know, my mother never wanted me to be the 4.0. She knew it wasn't going to happen. She got rid of those goals a long time ago, okay? She's got three other kids. Maybe they'll make it. But she gave up on me on that. So tests help us to measure what we know. Tests also help us to know our weaknesses, the areas that we're a little weak in. You ever had those tests like ACT test? It's all kind of stuff on there, from math to English to everything in between, okay? And some areas you do good in, some you don't do so good in. Math, I like math. I do pretty good in math and pretty good in history. But some of this other stuff, I'm not so good, okay? But they tell you your weaknesses so you know where to study, how to help. You know, there's some things in your life. You have strong points. You don't have to worry about some of those, but you work on those weaknesses so you can pass the test. Another thing tests do that we can say about tests is sometimes they're usually hard. You know, you do have those few people that they don't have to study and they pass a test. You know those people? Yeah. You know those people? Go to school, never crack a book, don't care if they have an A or not, and they got A+. It's like, I don't even like you anymore. Amen? Another thing, tests can also be very rewarding. You ever took a test and you thought you weren't going to pass it and you pass it and how excited you were? Woo! Yes, I passed. Yeah, you barely passed. Okay, you passed. Amen? You pass the test. That's rewarding. So I want to talk about some things about in the spiritual sense of test today. I want to start out with this statement. I want you to hear what I'm going to say on this statement. God's tests are not temptations to see whether or not you're going to sin. Okay? God doesn't test you to see if you're going to fall into sin. He doesn't test you with sin. I'll share with you where that comes from in a little bit. That's you. But God never uses sin to test you to see if you're qualified to be a Christian. If you put your faith and trust in Him, you're a Christian, okay? So move beyond that test. The test is not, God never tests you with a temptation to sin or do evil. Never. Doesn't happen that way. That's not God. I'll prove that to you in a moment as well. God doesn't tempt anyone. Now, the difference between tempt and a test is to help you grow. It's to help you mature, okay? And we're going to be talking about that today. A temptation, usually, spiritually, if you're speaking of in the biblical sense, a temptation is usually to do wrong or evil. Okay, watch this. This is what the Bible says. In James chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. See, two different words, a test and a tempt. You're not tempted by God. It says, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So a temptation to do wrong, go against God's word, does not come from God. People, a lot of times they'll revert to the passage where Jesus, they said the devil tempted Jesus, and he did. He didn't test him. He tempted him to do evil, to not worship God, to fall down before him, to take on earthly pleasures. That's what he tempted him with. What? Evil. To do opposite of what God's word says. So if you're tempted, that is not of God. I'm going to tell you where that comes from shortly, okay? But a test comes from God. A test comes from God. Let me read verse 14 in James chapter 1. It said, but each one, when he is tempted, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When you get your eyes off of God, that's when temptation starts coming in. I'm going to say this as a Christian for a long period of time. You can have your eyes mostly on God and still be tempted. The devil will tempt you in all kinds of areas. He is relentless in trying to get you to fall. He says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, when it's put in your heart and you act upon it, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. God does not test you so you can fall into sin so that you can be spiritually dead. Okay, that's a good amen moment if you're a Christian, okay? That'd be a great, woo, thank God. I thought I was going to lose here. No, you got it. So I hope you get the difference between a test and being tempted. It's very important that you get this, okay? Because if you're a young believer, you sometimes think God has it out for you. God doesn't have it out for you. God loves you, and God wants you to excel in the spiritual realm. He wants you to grow spiritually. How do you do that? You got to grow closer to God. Amen? So we look at this test. Sometimes can be referred to as suffering, a suffering. Sometimes you suffer for Christ. It's all through the scripture. But watch this. The suffering, if it was suitable for Christ, a tool to teach Christ, Jesus, it is suitable to teach us, his servants. Would you agree? If it's suitable for Christ, it's suitable for you. If it happened to Christ, don't be misled that it won't happen to you. So God also, through Christ, showed us, give us his example. In Hebrews 5:8, the Bible says this. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. That's the Bible talking about Christ. He suffered some things in order to grow. Kind of the cross. Remember, Jesus went and prayed in the garden, and he said to God his Father, if there's another way, or one if you're King James, if there's a way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, whatever you want. See, he wasn't tempting him to sin. It was a test for his growth. It was a test. If he followed through, look what it did for me and you. Thank God he passed the test. See, if he'd have said no, it's not like he was going to hell. Sometimes you don't. If you fail a test, it's not a heaven or hell thing. It's a growth thing. It's a graph, if you will. Where are you at with this thing with Christ? Are you growing? Test, remember this, when God tests you, it's not to send you to hell. Some people think that God, that he's trying to keep you from heaven. No, he's trying to get you to heaven. But the enemy will come in and twist things. If God loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. If God loved you, if he really loved you, you wouldn't have this trouble in your life. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You got to be careful. That's why you got to stay in God's word and know what God's word says. So does God test us? Yes. In Psalms 114, let me give you a few scriptures about to prove to you that God does test us. Psalms 11 looks like 114 on here without your glasses. Can't hardly see those two little dots right there. Psalms 11, 4 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is his heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says this. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. You know, one of the main things that God tests us with is whether you're going to spread the gospel or not. He says we've been an ambassador for this gospel. He entrusts you and I with the gospel. He tests us. He says, here it is. Now, have a lifelong test of how you're going to spread the gospel. See, the whole thing behind the gospel is to win people to the Lord so that people will go to heaven. That's the idea of the gospel. It's not to see how many people can go to hell. You know, he never created hell for people. It was for Satan and his fallen angels. That's where hell came about. But because people follow Satan, guess where they go? To hell. So God tests us with the gospel. He says, I'm watching you. What Psalm said, I'm watching you through my eyelids. I'm watching you to see, I'm testing you to see what you'll do with this gospel. You know, it's hard to do something with the gospel when you ain't doing something right. If you don't know what you're doing, how do you know to do something with it? I used to be in sales years ago, and I'd go to these meetings. I love to go to sales meetings for several reasons. One, Billy says, I didn't like those. I like to go to sales meetings because they'd put 300 or 400 people in a room. Those 300 or 400 people, would be salesmen all over the region. The reason I liked them so much, I didn't have to travel to them. They was traveling to me. Come on, somebody. Amen. Do this thing one time, and I reach a bunch of people. And then we get in there, and I would start talking about what I was selling. And there would be this guy in the back, always some wise joker. Tell us about your competitor's product. How does yours compare? I'm kind of quick on my feet. Well, I don't know. I'm not selling their product. I'm selling mine. See, I knew about what I was selling. I didn't know about what they were selling. All I can tell you is how good my stuff is and how it performs. I don't care about the other one. I only care about mine. And a test is the same way. What you need to is know about the gospel. Know about what's going to get you from point A to point B. Learn it. Know about it. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. And then when people come to you, when that test comes, you'll be able to pass the test because you can present the gospel. You know, Doc, when you were practicing all the time, they just wanted to know, did you have the answer to their problem? Pretty much. They wanted to be fixed. They were hurting, pain. They had all these symptoms. And most people, I could never be a doctor. Especially now. You probably experienced this. They diagnosed themselves before they got to you. They knew their problem. They knew their symptoms. And they knew how to fix them. And I'm like, now I could be Dr. Russell. I'm saying, well, I'm going to go ahead and charge you since you already know. But I'm going to charge you anyway. But you, I couldn't do it. I couldn't make it. No, Dr. Google. Know your stuff. My whole point is, know what you're dealing with. What are you going through? What's God testing you with today? What's he testing you with today? Is it a test? Could be stupidity. We'll talk about that in just a second. James 1, chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let me read this, verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfected and complete, lacking nothing. Now, let's go back to verse 2. My brethren, church folk, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, trial here is a test. That same word is test. A trial is not you feel like somebody's mad at you. A trial is not the preacher was preaching right at me today. A trial is not somebody didn't shake my hand. That's not a trial, okay? We're talking about spiritual things here. He says, count it all joy when I'm tested, if you will, when I'm tested in various things, knowing that the testing of my faith is going to produce something in me. See, God through a test is trying to get you to a better place. That's the purpose of God testing us. He's trying to take you from here to here to here to there. Amen. So along this way, you're going to have tests. It helps you grow. Tests are hard a lot of times. Now, I don't go to the gym, as you can see. Amen. I've got a visual. It's a visual message. I don't go to the gym. But if I did go to the gym and I did work out, there would be some tests along the way. You would start with a certain amount of weight on a dumbbell. Hello. And before you increased, you would, in a few weeks, you would put another set of weights on the dumbbell or that barbell, something about them bells. Arvel and barbell. But you wouldn't say, you know what? I've been lifting 150 pounds on the barbell. Let's put another 100 on. Well, you're an idiot. That is not a test. But you would, however, say, I think I can do 175. And you'd have people around you just to make sure that 175 is, you can handle it. And you'd put the proper amount of weight on it and you would test to see if you could actually do it. And if you could do it, you'd say, oh, I did it. The joy that tests bring, remember I said it's rewarding? Woo, man, I'm in the 175 club. Oh, glory to God. People are talking about you should be able to some kind of like bench press your weight.
It ain't happening. But that test to see if you could do it brought you rewards. That's what Christ does. See, if I can't do it, they don't kick me out of the gym. I don't lose my membership because I didn't pass the test. You know what? I have to work harder in that area. I have to do more reps. I have to do more sets or something so that I can get to 175. But I don't lose what I've got. Does this make sense? Because the enemy will tell you, if you fail, God doesn't love you, and you're no good. You're no good for the kingdom. Why are you even doing this? You ought to just drop out. You ought to turn in your membership. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's hard for you to turn in your membership when you become Christ. Woo! Thank God. Thank God. Amen. So this testing produces patience. So the test, when you go through a trial, it produces something. You wait on God. See, we want God right now. Do it right now. Why did you do it not yesterday? Why did it not happen yesterday? You know I've been thinking about this. I even said whispered a little prayer 6 months ago about this, and you still hadn't done it. Good luck with that. Let me know how that turns out for you. You go through this test, it produces this thing called patience. And it says in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, if you can learn to wait on God, the Bible says you'll lack for nothing. You got to wait on God. It's God's timing. You understand God doesn't have a clock in heaven. God's not looking over the clock and saying, boy, I tell you what, he's getting a little older. She's getting a little older. We got to hurry up with this thing because they're not going to get accomplished what I need them to get accomplished. It's not the way it works. It's up to you passing the test. I just look at my life and say, boy, if I would have passed those tests earlier in life, where would I be now? But I'm not condemned by that. It's not God's fault. It's a test that I had to work on, that I had to pass. Tests, let's say this, are all tests from God. No. Some are just bad choices, dumb decisions. They're not all from God. They're really not even called tests. Sometimes we just don't hear God. You ever been there? Boy, I have. Sometimes I thought it was God and it wasn't God. Been there? How do we know the difference? Let patience have its perfect way. In other words, if you're not sure, wait. I had a pastor friend tell me one time, I was asking him about a certain thing, a decision. This has been 25 years ago, and I was asking, he said, well, what's the last thing he told you? And I told him what it was. He said, he told you anything else? I said, no. He said, well, then stay right there doing that. See, he wanted me to understand that I'm right here for a reason. Pass this test. Don't try to look ahead and take the test that's not before you yet. Stay right here. When God has his way, when you pass the test, that patience, it perfects the work that he wants to do in your life, and now you're ready for the next test. That's why kindergartens don't take tests that are for 12th graders. Doesn't mean that the kindergarten kids are dumb. It means they're not ready for the test that the 12th graders are. They've had 12 years to prepare. If you're wondering why you're not where somebody else is, maybe you're in kindergarten spiritually. Maybe you got to go through some classes. If you're like me, I had to go to some summer schools. Come on, somebody. Amen. So all tests aren't from God. Tests are not punishment from God. They're only tools by which we can grow. Tests are not punishment. I read this commentator, and he said this. He said, we should never deny the place of suffering in building godliness in the Christian life. We should embrace suffering knowing that it's a test that we can grow in Christ. We don't like that. That is not popular preaching. If we're trying to fill the house of God today, that ain't going to do it. Don't want to do it. You mean I got to suffer? I thought he done all the suffering, and I just got to walk in here like we here. That's not the way this thing works. He also said this. Though there is much needless pain we bear through the lack of knowledge or faith, there is also necessary suffering. He's saying sometimes you go through stuff and it ain't got nothing to do with God. It's just you. Needless pain and suffering. Just you. You make bad choices. You didn't wait on God. You didn't hear God. You didn't get in God's word. You didn't say, Lord, what do you want to do about this? Sometimes it's on us. But we can paint it spiritual if we so choose. Just because you paint it spiritual don't mean it's spiritual. 1 Peter 4:12 says this. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial or test, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. Some people think they go through, some say, oh, I'm the only one this has ever happened to. I just know it's just me. No, it's just, don't think it's strange when you go through these fiery trials, when life hits you, when things are coming at you. Don't think it's strange. It's not strange. It's normal for the believer to go through some sufferings for Christ. He suffered for you. It was quiet in here today. It's not a strange thing that you go through trials. 1 Peter 1:3 says this. Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's really good, okay? But let me put it all in context. To an inheritance incompatible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So he's got this plan for me and you. We got an inheritance coming. It's called heaven. We got an inheritance called the Christian life. We can make it. We can pass the test. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, you see what the trial is, the test, to bring out the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is he saying, Pastor? What does all of this really mean? That he's testing you so that he can bring your faith, your walk with Christ, to the purity that he wants it to be. That's what a test is for. Just like the gold is tested by fire, it's heated, it's boiled to get the impurities out. God's test for me and you is to get the impurities out. It's not about getting you saved. You're saved if you're tested by God. If you're not saved, you're just a heathen. He tests us so that the genuineness of the gospel can come out. When God looks at me in a boiling pot, spiritually speaking, I wonder what he says. Man, well, I'm glad that's burning out. That stinks. Boy, look at all that. Ooh, look at all that ugh. That junk. Ooh, good gracious. Boy, I'm glad I got him on the fire. What is he? What is he?
What does he see when he puts us in the trial? I'm afraid mine's pretty ugly. But he's not doing it to see whether I'm going to fail or not. He's doing it to get the impurities out of me so that I can be better equipped to spread the gospel. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Okay? All these trials here. We've got the inheritance. He says we've got an inheritance. Come on. If you're saved, you got an inheritance. So why the trial? Well, it's not to get you to heaven. It's to get the impurities out of you. Thank God it's not trial and error. Because, boy, if it's trial and error, I'm not going to make it. We're doomed. Thank God it's just a test. He's saying, I want to get some impurities out of you because I got better work for you to do. I got something else for you to do. I want you to walk better in this area. I want you to have more love. I want you to have more compassion. I want you to have more concern. I want you to have more this, more that. That's what God's trying to do. I need my gospel to live through you. That's what he's saying with the test. I need my gospel to live through you. The purpose of a test. Test can be rewarding. We talked a little bit about that a while ago. For our light affection, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I love this eternal thing. That means heaven. See, we want to look at some things that we see and we say, well, we're not measuring up. We didn't pass the test. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of tests I didn't pass. Amen. Now see, Doc saying, I passed all my tests. If you ever get him to dialogue with you in like written form. He sends me some emails from time to time. I got to get out my dictionary and read it. He's got sharp. He probably didn't fail any test. We're not on the same level. Amen. You're not on the same level as somebody else either, spiritually speaking. Just because they seem to be passing every test, don't compare yourself to them. God's not testing them the way he's testing you, or you the way he's testing them. You got your stuff, and he's going to test you based on where you are. What's going on? Same things that bother you may not bother me at all. Some things that affect you may not affect me. But tests are designed for you to grow in the genuineness toward God. That's what tests are for. They're helping you to grow. So don't push away a test. Don't call a test a temptation when it's not. Embrace the test and say, whoo, God's saying, I got some issues somewhere. I wonder where they are. If you're married, ask your spouse. They'll help you. Amen? They'll help you find those impurities, your imperfections. Is that right, honey? Y'all know what one of my imperfections are? Or is? My wife hates when I talk about her in church. Right now, she's hating on me. I've tried to tell her, the Lord ain't convicted me about that yet. That's over yonder. We all have things in our lives we need to work on, and that's the purpose of a test. And I'm going to close early. I know you're thinking, wow, this is really early. Some of you just got really excited. I'm not over yet. I can close for 30, 40 minutes. Who said that's right? That was you? Amen. Hebrews 12:11 says this.
Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, you think? But painful. Amen. Do you agree? The chastening, God chases you. It doesn't seem joyful at the moment. A test is not something that I enjoy doing. Going through a test, going through the fire to get the impurities out, doesn't seem fun to me. But he says in Hebrews that no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. It does seem painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been, watch this, trained by it. The test is to train you. It's not to push you away. I hope you're getting this. God tests us to take us closer to Him. God tests us to train us in some areas that we're weak in. It's obtainable if we let the test train us. I like what David said, David Dodson. He loves it. He's about like my wife when I pick on him when he says, he don't talk to me much anymore because he knows I'm going to bring something out. But he was talking about a test one time, and he said, Lord, help me to get it fast so we don't have to stay here very long. I agree with that wholeheartedly. We're going to go through a test. He wasn't denying that there wouldn't be a test. But, Lord, let me go and get a hold of it. And let's get on out of here so we can move on to something else. That's the purpose of a test. He doesn't want to drag it out. You understand, right? That God's not dragging out the test for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. The teacher that's teaching you in school doesn't want you to fail 4 or 5 times. They're tired of you. They want you to pass and go on to somebody else. Right? That's what they want. They get graded on not how many graded. Teachers get graded. I don't know what they get assessed. Not on how many people they fail, but how many people pass. Because if you don't pass, it looks bad on the teacher. Yeah? It looks so bad that our government has just said, well, let's just move the mark. We got really bad teachers and really bad students, let's move the mark up so everybody can pass. That's what they think. It's not true. It's called trained by. Remember the word trained by, the phrase trained by? We're not letting teachers train our kids. We're victims. We feel like sometimes when God tries to train us by test, that He's got something against us. And the enemy, I'm telling you, loves to jump on your shoulder and tell you, if God really cared for you, He'd give you the answers to the test in advance. It's not the way that thing works. I never had a teacher give me the answers to the test in advance. And I had a lot of teachers didn't want me to return to their class. But they knew it would do me no good if they gave me the answers to the test and I didn't put any effort in it. Because I'm going to revert right back. I won't know what to do in the next grade. Come on, if I fail the basic science class, I'm probably not going to be that good at biology. Is that right, science teacher? You got to get some basics in first. Where are you at in God training you? And you're testing. Where are you at with God? Are you allowing God to test you? Or do you just push God away and say, I'll take that test tomorrow. I'll study that tomorrow. You ever walked into class or at school and all your friends were there and they're all doing this and you see them leaned up against their lockers and you don't like it either when I get next to you either because you think I'm going to do something, don't you? Billy don't care. Look at that. See that spirit? He said, teach me, brother. Come on, you two need to get this. Amen. And everybody's standing around, and they're you say, hey, what's up? It's, oh, we heard that such and such teacher is going to give us a pop quiz. Oh, look, that's what I'd said. Uh-oh. I don't even know where that notebook is. Can I stand next to you? No, I'm trying to, man, I'm cramming this in. Slow down, I ain't finished yet. Test her to know what you know. Those pop tests. Miss Elizabeth, you got pop tests. Do they still do that? What, pop quiz, pop test? Had one, you had one yesterday, Dale? Amen. So you had the pop test, and did you like, on these tests, it wasn't really to make them mad. It was really to see, really, evaluation, what they knew. And sometimes between the major tests, you'd throw a pop test in. You know, sometimes, and they were a little bitty, and sometimes they didn't count a whole lot for your grade. Sometimes they did. But they were really an evaluation guide for the teacher to see, what do you know? May I tell you that God already knows everything. He does not give you a pop test to see if he needs to teach you better. The pop tests are to remind you that God still cares for you, that he's still in touch with you, and he wants you to grow in this particular area. That's what a pop test is for. God will test you. It's to learn. It's to help you learn. And I'm going to close with this. You can come to the piano or you can play music. It makes me no difference. There's some lyrics that we hinted on a while ago in one of the commentators that I read, and I want to read these lyrics to you from a song. Some of you that have been in church a while know this song. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I like that song. Here's some of the lyrics. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and our griefs to bear. Test is not about your sin. Test is not you bearing your sin. Tests are to help you grow. The words go on to say this: what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. See, a lot of the things we go through is simply because we didn't take them to God, the teacher. And we get caught up in our web of wrong, our web, our mindset of the world. And God says, I could have gave you the answer to that if you'd have just came to me in prayer. I could have helped you with that a long time ago. But you thought you could do it on your own. You thought you didn't need to be tested. You thought you were smart enough already. I want to challenge you today. Because if you're not in the middle of a test right now, you've just come out of one, or you're fixing to go into one. That's the way this thing works. I'm sorry to bring you such wonderful news this morning. But anything less than me telling you that wouldn't be the true gospel. We go through trials because the Bible says you're going to. Now, if you're like me, I'm going to tell you, I haven't got the joy thing yet going into a trial. If you have, I'd like for you to teach a series on how to handle that and go with joy through trials. You come to me and I'll give you the pulpit. That's hard. Because we're self-centered people. We're just self-centered people. We want it our way right now. We don't care who it hurts or why it hurts them. God says, that's not what I'm after. I want you to count it all joy when you're going through a trial. A test. Now, it's not counting sin all joy. That's not what he's talking about. trials here is like, it's a test. It's not, I was going through a trial, and boy, I failed in that sin. Felt good too. Woo, hallelujah, glory to God. It's not what he's talking about. Count the trial where you're being tried by fire as good as the Lord trying to do something in your life to trying to make you better for the kingdom. I don't like it either. But I don't get to change the book. I don't get to change the curriculum. He wrote it. We can't change it. But we do have to live by it. Amen. I want to challenge you today before we leave. Know and understand the purpose of a test. Let me say this. To know and understand the purpose of the test, you must pray and seek God. When you pray and seek God, when you go through the test, he'll help you understand why you're there and what you're going through. And if you say, well, I just don't get all that, well, I can tell you this. One test, one thing that a test always will produce is glory and praise and honor to God. That's what Scripture says. They will always, should always produce glory, honor, and praise to God. That's the purpose of a test. So if you're going through something today, if you'll stand with me all across this building. If you're going through something today and you say, Pastor, I am going through something. I've got a test that it's not a, look, we're not talking about sin and not sinning. This is not what this message is about today. It's about test. It's about God transforming you from where you are to something he wants you to be. Something you're dealing with in your life. Maybe it's an impurity that God's getting out. If that's you in this place, you say, Pastor, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Pastor, I'm going through a test, a trial. My faith is being tested so much right now. Matter of fact, my faith is being tested so much, I'm not even sure if I'm still saved. That's the enemy speaking to you, number one. Pastor, I need prayer. I need you to pray with me. I need a group of believers praying for me. If that's you, will you just slip your hand up across this building? Pastor, I need prayer. I see that hand over there, that hand back there. I see hands all over the place. Thank you, Lord, for your word. If you still got your hands up, can we do this? If you'll just stick your hands right back up I just want some people to find those that got their hand up. And will you just go to them, put your hand on them, just pray for them. You don't need to know what they're going through. I want you to put your hand on them. Find people that's got their hand up and just put your hand up, just pray for them. Just ease up to them, pray for them right now. Just pray for them. That, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. I need somebody back here in the back right over here, guys. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you saw every hand that was raised in this place. Right here. Father, you see every hand that was raised in this place today. Lord, your word says that the fiery trials, they're not pleasant. What your word said, we just read it. But Lord, as they walk through this test, Lord, I pray that peace, Lord, would be upon them, that they would recognize, Lord, what the test is for. And Lord, they would walk through the fire. And when they come through the other side of the test, Lord, impurities have been expunged. Lord, and there's joy in their heart. Lord, that they made it through the test. Lord, help us to understand that it is not a test of heaven or hell. It's a test about growing closer to you. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room, those that didn't raise their hand, that are faced with a test. Lord, help us to lean heavy on you to lean hard in on you today, God, that we may examine ourselves by the Holy Spirit to know how to navigate through the test. Father, I thank you, and I worship you and praise you for your word today. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen and amen. Hallelujah. I hope you've enjoyed today's word. I think it was needed for our church. I know it's needed for me. I go through things, and I believe God orchestrated it today. I'm going to bless you before we go. Don't get too excited. I won't do this again. It's just 11:42. I promise next week I'll keep you to 12 or after. Amen. Let me bless you. Heavenly Father, we ask that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that prosperity, job promotions, raises, increase would come our way, and that peace would blanket rest over every rooftop, that when we lay down today or this afternoon or tonight, the sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.